edit this out, by the way.
Well, if you could lead us in prayer, please.
Yes, Father, thank you this night, Lord. Thank you for giving us the galaxy of things security to come into their presence tonight, Lord. Be with our number, Lord. And be our presence tonight, Lord. As Christ comes preaching, Lord, give him a touch of the Spirit, Lord. And Lord, teach us and exhort us and maybe chastise us, Lord. But do so in loving, Lord, and guide us to the knowledge of thee, Lord, to learn more of thee, Lord, and guidance, Lord, and also maybe salvation also, Lord, for those that are lost, Lord. Lord, give us this night, Lord, and give those people who can make it, Lord, with Stephen Pat, Lord, with the health and the condition, Lord, help them and heal them, Lord, and save them from any trouble, or save them from any health problems or pain or anguish, Lord, especially Stephen, his leg and his foot, Lord. Heal, Lord, I pray, Lord, give Esther, Lord, with her skin and lymphoma, and our conditions, Lord, help her, Lord, and heal her and aid her, Lord, and pray for her and keep her. And Lord, Mr. Hunter's first day as well, Lord. And pray for now, Lord, Mr. Hunter, in all ways, but especially spiritually, Lord. And again, we keep him, Lord, and love him, we keep him, Lord, and provide for him as well, Lord. And pray for us this night, with Lee and Frank, Lord. With Frank, Lord, love him, guide him, and protect him, Lord. And keep him on the straight and narrow, Lord. Pray for him and bless him also, and bring him closer to thee, Lord. Pray for Carl and John, Lord, help them and keep them, Lord, and minister unto them, Lord, and guide and protect them in this night and the week to follow, Lord, and bring them to the house next appointed time. With us tonight, Lord, we are fight for us, cares, Lord, and be willing for number, Lord, and bless us as we come to serve thee. May our worship be sincere and according to thy will for Jesus Christ again, Lord.
Take a number.
13 in the black book.
In the black book. Are we okay to take from the black book tonight, or are you?
I can.
Yeah.
I'll just look like
Stevie Wonder. This one's that almost suggests. You know what? The music's there. If you want, I don't. I'll try.
Okay.
Well, only one half of the music.
Okay.
Did we sing it?
We did.
Not that long ago. Okay.
It's not a bad song.
No, it's good.
For choosing that, we can all stand.
Turn tonight to 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow a widow woman there to sustain him. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to get off the sea, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little drink in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she says, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a keg, but a half of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto him, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little keg first, and bring it unto me, and after thee, and make for thee, and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said unto the Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the Lord came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Amen.
Thank you, Ron.
Amen. All right, thank you for taking the service again, Christy. I know I keep saying that. I do appreciate it. There's days that are much better than others, and it's just this past few weeks I have not been feeling 100%. But I'm thankful also for answered prayers with my wife, Mrs. Bradfield. She's due for a checkup on Wednesday to see how the laser treatment went from a week and a half ago. So appreciate your prayers for both of those things, but more importantly, for Esther, for Steve and Pat, for Ling and Frank, and for John and Carol, and for each of us as well. Please do pray for each person that's here right now. I would also like to remind you of those souls in and around Derry, well connected to people that we know, that lost loved ones, the Curry family down there at Altnagelvin about, what was that, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. That man that was killed on the motorbike left a young family behind him. And of course that lady, Heather Diamond, that died in the house fire on the old Ross Downey Road. Please pray for the Diamond family and the Curry family as well. Other than that, not much is, I don't even think that has changed from this morning. But is there anything else? Just ask for your prayers for us as we, depending on how Monica's results go and if there's a need for more surgery, we will be here on Thursday, Friday and Saturday. And if there's no need for more surgery and things are going well, then we will be going up to see the Isle of Fella in Portadown. So we'd appreciate your prayers there. I think that's about that, isn't it? All right. Anything else? Oh, yes. We're having a meeting with Ebrington Presbyterian Church tomorrow. So we'd appreciate your prayers for that. I was going to say around about 11 o'clock, but before 11, at 11 and after 11, until probably until half 11 or 12 o'clock, I would say every bit of negotiating will be done and the bodies will be buried and the lime has been poured over the top of them.
Mark.
No. Please do pray for our meeting with the church. We all know what we want. We need to pray the Lord's will, and then we need to pray for people's hearts. So that would be much appreciated. Right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll hand the service back to Christine. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, indeed for life and health and strength and for the time we've been able to spend here today. For the service, Lord, for enabling Christy to lead it,
And thank you too, Lord, for the preparation that he's put into, on top of everything else, for the service this evening. And I pray that you would bless him as he comes leading and teaching and preaching, Lord. Please, I pray, inspire him this evening. Pray you too, Father, very especially for the Curry family and for the Diamond family upon the recent loss, the recent and very shocking loss of loved ones in both instances, in road accident and a fire. Please, Lord, I pray you just be with them. Remember as well those that's not doing 100%, Pat and Steve, Lord, and Esther. Pray your good hand upon them, that you would lift them up and enable them to be out and joining us again. Pray you too for my good wife and for myself, for anybody else that's suffering a bit of ill health. And we're not forgetting Norman. We know he's still on blood thinners until he gets that wee problem sorted out. And I pray that you would, Lord. Pray your will would be done. Please be with each one of us, Lord. Please, I pray you, comfort us and prepare us to receive your engrafted word. Work in our hearts, work in the heart and mind of the preacher too. And please help Christy, Lord, as he studies. Well, as he finishes his studies, as he works, and as he tends to the church still, and of course, as he prepares to meet with and marry the woman of his dreams in the middle of May. We just pray that your will would be done there. Love you and thank you. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Was not being sarcastic, brother. I know she is the woman of your dreams, and I pray she is for a very long time. Come on ahead.
That'll be recorded for us. Pardon?
Take another favorite. Quick.
quick.
Order. Order.
Hey.
Oh, dear.
Anyone?
White 29. Precious Lord, with my hand.
I'm not sure we know that one.
It's in the black book.
In the black book? Okay, I thought.
You're never sure that you know that one.
I'm not.
No. Every time you say that.
I do know this one. What'd you say?
It's like 180 something.
That's close.
3, 4, 9.
I'll leave it up to whoever moves first. You can stand or sit for this one.
They don't often do here. I'm going to give a bit of a prophecy. It's Sunday, March 28th. And Taylor's listening currently to the service and she's frowning because I didn't take the opportunity to say she's the woman of my dreams. So I will clarify, yes, she is the woman of my dreams. And now she's starting to smile. Well, I'll let you know how it goes. If you don't hear from me in the middle of May, you know that I've been struck off. Acts 16 tonight is where we are. Silliness aside. Well, maybe not yet, but I'm glad that your mom's not here yet tonight.
Yeah.
She might think we're talking about her church. Her title is the Free Church.
Oh.
I'm not glad that she's not here. I'd be happy if she was here, but just thought I'd joke about that. So the Free Church is our topic. And I'll aim to be serious going through the study tonight instead of the joking manner in which it's been so far. In verse 25 to 40, we're aiming to finish Acts 16 tonight. And our topic is the Free Church. That midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And when they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Amen. Mark, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our time in your presence and pray that you would bless the time we spend here with you. Please be one of our number this evening. Walk up and down the hall here and speak to Christy and to Will and to Norman, to Stephen, to Monica and myself, Lord, as we just wait on your word. And of course, Lord, to those that listen in later on this evening or later on in the week or at any time, please do work in and speak to souls. Thank you for, Lord, the freedoms that we still have, and I pray, please, that you would work hard in people's lives. Please restore those that have slid and slipped. Please, Lord, I pray, save the lost souls. And please, Father, I pray, edify the saved. We love you and thank you. Bless Christy with the words to speak. And, Lord, we're just glad of him this evening. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just to put it into context, we always outline the previous study, and the previous study saw us Lydia just being saved, that Paul and Silas had been going to prayer with the church, making a difference, discipling the newborn Christians, and just firming up the church that was just been established. There was this young Gerd followed them and started crying out that these men are the servants of the Most High God, and Show unto us the way of salvation. She'd done this for many days. Paul grieved at this and didn't need no reference from the Holy Spirit, from wicked demons possessing this soothsayer. He commands that the demon come out of her, he casts her out, and her owners they lose their income. And then here we have Paul and Silas beaten, cast in jail. And we're at this point now in our text where we want to talk a bit about the free church. And I have been debating really whether it was the free church or the something about praise, because praise is heavily focused in our text here tonight. So maybe he had something about praise or but praise is important, but many churches today, they emphasize praise to the exclusion of soul winning of the Christian walk. I have a few questions on that one. Is it praise rather than love that covers the multitude of sins? Is it faith, hope, charity, these three abide, but the greatest of these is praise? The Bible doesn't say that, but many churches put so much focus on praise that it would seem so. It does often appear that no matter what we do wrong or what circumstance we find ourselves in through our own doing, that somehow praise will just make it better. That's not the case. It's not the case. Praise is important. I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not underestimating or underselling or taking for granted our ability to praise God, and we ought to praise God continually. The Bible's clear on that. But when we're admonishing folks to praise God, it shouldn't be attached to any results or any expected results. We often praise God for what's done in the past and for what he is and his power that he has, the knowledge that he has, for him being ever present. But we never praise him expecting a certain result. For example, being in prison here and expecting an earthquake to come and get freed up. We never praise God expecting something to happen. We praise God because he's good, because it's right, because it's reasonable to do so for a creature to praise and be thankful for the Creator. I'm just turning quick to Psalm 150. I was only going to read one verse, but I'll read the whole Psalm because it's all about praise. Praise you the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The birds already sing God's praises, and we ought to do a better job than we do of praising God. But let us not as a church forget the more weightier matters of soul winning, of living this Christian walk, of having a daily relationship with the Lord, and let not praise be our forte as a church of Christians, but let it never be absent from our lips either. It doesn't replace love, it doesn't replace grace, it doesn't replace faith. It coincides with such. Point number one is the prison of suffering, and many of us have been in the prison of suffering. In our first verse here, we see that Paul and Silas, actually we're going back a verse to verse number 24, they've been put in the inner prison, inner chamber. They have done nothing wrong to deserve this beaten, arrest and imprisonment. And oftentimes, the suffering that people face is undeserved. But yet we stand in judgment as a church, not this church, but as a church whole. We see other Christians suffering. We stand and think, well, they've done something to deserve that. It's not always the case. Sometimes it is, yes. But a lot of the times the suffering just happens. Chance happeneth to all men, the Bible says, rains upon the just and upon the unjust. But through nothing of their own, their only crime was casting out a demon from a poor girl who had been a slave, albeit, earning money for these wicked men. These wicked men get angry and they drag them up to the magistrates. The magistrate, and they accuse them of teaching customs and laws that were not, that couldn't be received by the Romans. They accuse them of hating the Romans and just teaching things against all their customs. They had been following the leading of the Holy Spirit and the drawing of God. And yet here we find them in prison. Here we find them in prison. The reality is that doing right doesn't always protect us from things going wrong in our lives. We see that through with Paul many times. Many times. It's often undeserved, but more than undeserved, it's often unbearable. We spoke last week about the inner prison. The inner prison often had stenches that were offensive to the nose. It was pitch dark, pitch black. It was packed quarters. There was very little space. And this was an unbearable experience for many. But surprisingly so, we see the reaction in verse number 25. The praise of believers. Let me just stop here a minute. Many of us have been in suffering times where we have thought it's literally a prison. We've been in suffering times that we couldn't see past that very suffering. And I want us to take tonight what Paul and Silas done in their time of suffering. And the next time we are so engulfed with a trial, a temptation, a tribulation, or troubles, troublesome waters, let us remember the free church study and turn to the book of Acts 16. I hope and pray that would be on everyone's heart. The Lord would store it up for the time that it's needed. But they start praying. They start praying in this prison. Followed by the prayer, they start singing praises. Just so seems that there's nothing that can hinder them praying or praising God. They've just been beaten, arrested, stripped of their clothes, and cast in prison. Their feet has been bound so that they can't move. It's dark. It says it's midnight. And they're not praying into themselves. It doesn't tell us what they're praying. It doesn't tell us what they're singing. But I can assume so. I don't think they're praying for their own freedom here. I don't think they're praying for God to get them out of this prison. I think they're praying that if there be any prisoners that have a need of Jesus, that they would see Jesus in them being in prison. Many people would look at this account and they would say, well, this was just God freeing his servants. But his servants are already free. I don't know what hymns they were singing, but I can guess. And I would guess that it was, you must be born again, that Jesus saves. And all praise and glory to God. And we'll get to it with the reaction of the jailer is why I'm assuming those things. But nothing could have it seems as if nothing could prevent them from praising the Lord. Yet some little trouble, something that upsets our comfort, that upsets our mood in the day, seems to just take us from revival, from prayer, and from any praise at all. Rejoice in the Lord always is the words of Paul later. And again, I say rejoice. I think it's in the book of Philippians. Capture in the times when it is troublesome and suffering. Anyone can be happy in the pleasant circumstances. But real joy is found within when the Holy Spirit is indwelling you. When you know that we're just pilgrims passing through this land and heaven is our home. And our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they had that assurance and they showed it here with the reactions. Another important point to note is our last few words in verse number 25. And the prisoners heard them. They weren't shy about their prayer. They weren't shy about their praises. But more so than just that, is these were people that were in the very same situation as they were in. These people had probably been beaten the same day or just before. They had probably been stripped of their clothes the same day or just before. They were cast into the inner cell to be bound and not loosed, just like Paul and Silas. And they had been chained just like Paul and Silas, going through the exact same suffering. But yet, the sound of prayer and praise was strange to these prison walls. It was strange, it was unique. It was the first time this prison had ever heard such a thing. And why do I mention that? Because, Christian, there's lost souls going through the same battles that we are going through today. There's lost souls suffering that financial hardship that we're suffering. There's lost souls suffering the forsaken of friends and family like we're suffering. There's lost souls suffering that loneliness that we suffer. There's lost souls suffering that worry that we suffer. And they need some strange signs. They need some prison cells from which cometh prayer and praising. They need, and they're listening. The fact that they heard them was clear evidence that these prisoners were listening out for something. It may have been they were listening for a call that one of their family had been called to the prison to give them some food and some clothing. It may have been that they had an appointed time to get released from the prison, and they were waiting on the jailer to say, your time's up, come on and go. But more so than physical freedom, eternal freedom was about to pass by their way. Suddenly God sends a great earthquake, and we're looking at the power of God here. Sends a great earthquake so that the very foundations of the prison are shaken. And sometimes, friends and brethren, our whole world's foundations just need shaken up. This was a supernatural earthquake, not purely because of the location of the timing, but because of how every door within the inner prison was opened, how every chain was broken or loosed. It says that the very foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. So all the prisoners were basically set free. Every band loose, every foot that was strapped up was loosed. They could have done what they wanted. The jailer wakes up out of his sleep. And again, he draws a sword, and don't ask me how Paul hears it. Maybe it's in a sheath and it makes a noise as you pull it out. I don't know, but he's drawn a sword, and he's drawn a sword for a very good reason. Because in Roman custom and Roman law, if a jailer lets his prisoners go free, he suffers the penalty of those escaped prisoners. So he was just about to execute himself, put it upon himself, because he would have been publicly executed anyway. Paul, hearing maybe the unclipping of this sword or this knife, he shouts with a loud voice and says, don't do yourself any harm, no prisoners have escaped. And again, this Paul's reaction and Silas's reaction tell me that the church, this church that had been freed, wasn't the servants of God that were to be freed. Rather, it was the jailer who was about to become free. They could have escaped. They could have shaken off all those chains and ran out the door before the jailer even had woken out of his sleep. But they didn't. Circumstance had said, escape, run, be free. But love had said, let's stay for the sake of this one soul. They weren't compelled or constrained by what circumstance had said to them. They were led by what love would say. The lives of others were more important to Paul and Silas than their personal freedom or comfort. And it shows here. I almost frown at the thought that today we would be walking around as a church caring more about our own freedoms and our own comforts rather than the lives and souls of others. But it ought not to be so. We can still praise God in the prison. Mm-hmm. And let's just see what happens when God is praised in the prisons. The jailer calls for a light. It's dark, he can't see. He needs a light. And there's a very different reaction. Now consider that this could be the very jailer that had beaten Paul and Silas a few hours previous. Now he springs up, has the light, runs in trembling. He's shaken. He's fearful. And he falls down before Paul and Silas. And it's these questions that got me speculating about what they were praying about and what they were singing. In verse number 30. What must I do to be saved? How would that jailer know what the term saved was? They were obviously singing about Jesus saving them from their sins. They were obviously singing about being redeemed, about that power in the blood. They had been praying that if anybody had needed salvation, that today would be the day. You see, God sometimes puts us in the storm because there's someone there that needs rescued. God will sometimes put us in the water because we can swim, but the people already in the water are drowning. They need someone that can swim to help them out and rescue them. Let us look beyond our own prison and our own suffering, albeit it may be unbearable for us to bear alone. That's why we have the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In 1 Peter 5, cast all your care upon him because he careth for you. Let Jesus bear it. Don't look at ourselves in the storm, but look in the storm for those others that are drowning, whom need a bit of prayer and praise, or need to hear a bit of prayer and praise. Simply put, and many churches use verse number 31 to avoid the preaching of repentance. Paul, it's easy. It is, salvation is easy, and it sounds easy right here, because it is. Paul says, or they say unto him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now that doesn't, let me just step back a bit. If we look at the reaction of the jailer to the earthquake, to the doors opening, to the love that Paul and Silas had showed him by not escaping out of the prison, he had already been repentant. He already had a repentant attitude. See, it's not required that for weeks or months before you get saved that you need to take your clothes off and sit in that sackcloth and ashes and whip yourself in the back and say, I'm a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner. God save a wretch like me. It's all in your mind. It's about your perspective. That, Lord, I no longer want to be bound, imprisoned by the sin that's in my life. Forgive me, Lord, and help me. And that had already been happening. He had been looking for the salvation that he knew was on offer. Because he asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? There was already a change in his attitude towards Paul and Silas and towards God when he had seen the power of God manifest itself in the form of an earthquake, and when he had seen the grace and love of God's servants through prayer and praise. But they go on. That's not all they said. Verse number 32. They went on and spake unto him the word of the Lord. They preached the gospel to him. They showed him exactly who the Lord was, what he had done, and how it is personal to him, and he had a choice to make. Not only did they preach it to him, they preached it to all his house as well, because this jailer couldn't get saved for his house. His house needed to get saved for himself. This wasn't an exclusive offer to the jailer whereby if he got saved, the rest of his house was going to heaven with him. No, he just invited them, Paul and Silas, to his house for them to bring the same message that he had been hearing in the prison. That same hour, here's the change. He had been saved. He washes the stripes that maybe even he had put upon their backs. All those cuts, all those whipping that he had gave them. The many stripes it says earlier in the book of Acts 16, chapter 16. Washes them, and then he gets baptized with all his straight away. And then he starts, like Lydia, using his resource to serve the servants of God, to sustain them, to provide a bit more back to God, showing fruit. When he brought them to his house in verse 34, and he's rejoicing. He sets meat before them. He feeds them. He's glad that the word of God had came unto him in the prison. You see, it wasn't Paul and Silas that were bound in the prison. They were free. They were free eternally. You can put a Christian in jail, and he can sit there and be as joyful, he or she can sit there and be as joyful as they would be out in the fresh air in the open, because they know that when they breathe their last breath, they will be free forevermore. And that's what was going on with Paul and Silas. This jailer hadn't known or hadn't realized as yet that he was actually the one that was in prison, that was bound by chain, but it wasn't bar and chain like Paul and Silas. It was bar and chain that we call sin and his need for salvation. It goes on, and I'm skipping over this and I'm jumping to the last, but I'll just say a few things. Remember last week we'd said that it was illegal for Romans to beat Roman citizens, and Paul would use that against them at a later stage, because they didn't even take the time before they beat them and arrested them and put them in prison to find out if they were Roman citizens. This is where Paul uses it against them. He says, we're not going quietly in the night. You're coming here to face us. You put us in here, we're Romans. You broke your own law. You come and you let us out. But verse number 40, I just wanted to make mention. I find it interesting that Paul and Silas would have had to go and comfort the church and not the church comfort them. You see, oftentimes when it's me suffering, the brethren around me will suffer more than what I'm suffering in the trial or in the tribulation. Because when we're in it, Jesus gives us the strength to get through it. Jesus provides all that we need to see us through and sustain us. Whereas the church looks at it from, or the external brethren to the suffering, looks at it from their position of comfort and thinking, if I was in that, I don't know how I could get through it. They also had seen that they had been beaten, arrested, stripped of their clothes and thrown in prison, and they had been thinking, this is coming for me. This is coming for me. But that's not something we often do, is we don't, when there is a bit of suffering on each of us, we don't go back and comfort our brethren. But be assured that if we are aware that you are suffering, there is a bit of stress, there is a bit of discouragement, there is a bit of heartbreak to know that your brethren are going through a hard time and struggling. And there needs to be that thought that of comfort. And that could just be simply reassuring that the Lord was with you in the fire, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or the Lord was with you in the lion's den as with Daniel. Just tell people that the Lord was in the prison with you. Yeah. Was in your suffering with you as well. Because someone else could be suffering the exact same thing and in the exact same position. And just waiting to hear those prayers and those praises. Amen. We are free. Jesus said, when I set you free, you shall be free indeed. That's what happened to this Philippian jailer. And God truly did turn Paul and Silas' prison into a shouting ground, didn't he? He turned that completely around and made it a victory. Amen. That we are a free church. There's nothing the world can do about that. But let us give that freedom to others. Anyone got a closing hymn?
172. Does anybody else have their hand up? Let us shout over now, brother.
Nope, you're good.
Let's stand as we sing this.
Exhaling joy.
Begun a good work, and you will perform it till the coming of until he comes again, till the day of Christ.
Amen.
Well, could you close us in prayer?
Yeah, Father, thank you for this. I'd like to thank you for being here, Lord, with us, Lord. And Lord, if those people that are listening to this service via CD or other means, Lord, reach out to those people, Lord, and help them and pray for them and give them spiritual assistance, Lord. Lord, thank you for your love, Lord. Lord, that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, Lord, and have it so that maybe more people, especially like the jailer, Lord, would hear of it, Lord, and come to a saving knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ, their sins may be blotted out, Lord, and their souls may be safe for all eternity, Lord. Bear with us this night, Lord, and throughout the week that's come, Lord, provide for us, secure, Lord, pray for our world leaders, give them wisdom, godly wisdom, and save their souls, Lord, also, and right to stand. Pray for the people like COVID-19, Lord. Save your life primarily, Lord, but also, Lord, use the means to reach out to them and for them to come to the lower cross and save from us, Lord. Mm-hmm. And nip the COVID-19 in the bud, Lord, and Lord, stop it from increasing, Lord, from taking lives into eternity, Lord. And save those that have got it, Lord, and pray, Lord. Save souls by thee for the power of the blood, Lord. And set their standard in this land and fight the war, Lord. As the prison circle was raised up, Lord, and thy son was raised up on the cross, Lord, that thy glory may be raised up throughout the land, throughout the world also, Lord. We have us going through a new week, the parson, and safety, Lord, we have us in case for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen.